Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Veronica Reeves at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, a story on the struggles of women around the world who are being denied access to birth control. But first, countless women and girls who were brutalized by the Nigeria-based Boko Haram terrorist group need to know it is not their fault. That powerful message coming from a UN expert who just returned from visiting displacement camps in the northeast of the African country. I spoke with UN Special Rapporteur Maud Dubor-Bukwikio about her trip to Nigeria and some of the moving conversations she had with women and girls there. She told me that many of them are now facing an uncertain future as mothers, all the while being shunned by society and even their own families after being raped by members of the insurgent group Boko Haram. Ms. Bor-Bukwikio told me that these women and girls are in desperate need of psychosocial help to help them come to terms with their ordeals.
What remains with me is really having seen the IDPs, many of whom were very young. The children constitute actually the majority of the IDPs in the camps. What I will remember is my discussion, apart from the general picture of these camps where people obviously continue to suffer, also because the food is not sufficiently nutritious, so there's hunger. But what is above all very striking, and that was also something which really struck me in my individual conversations with some of the persons I met in the camp, is the suffering and the need for psychosocial support for these victims of extreme forms of violence inflicted by Boko Haram, and the need for them to be attended to on an individual level. Their suffering is very deep, and it's also a cultural problem for many of the girls and the women not to be able to speak about what happened to them, if it is sexual abuse, which many of them were subjected to. And some of these girls, I mean girls below the age of 18, came to this camp pregnant, impregnated by Boko Haram, gave birth to children who are stigmatized, labeled forever as Boko Haram children. Those who were released or freed from Boko Haram are still, by many communities and even by their families, considered as having sided with Boko Haram, and they are simply not accepted.
And obviously these conversations were very difficult. What did they ask for? What is it that they felt that they need most at this time?
It's really the possibility to turn to someone whom they can trust, somebody who understands there's an obvious need for a professional who are really capable of allowing these victims to speak out. I had one moment of eye contact with one of the victims, and that's when I told her that it was not her fault. She couldn't be blamed, and she was so grateful for that. You know, and that's the kind of thing which the professionals can do or need to do. But the problem is so immense. There's need for training of professionals who have the ability to allow these girls to speak. So can you imagine how terrible that is for the women? And again, as I said, I mean, they are being shunned by society, by their own family. And what will be the future of these children? So this is really a top priority.
And is that what we should do as a matter of urgency right now? Get people there on the ground that can have these important and powerful conversations?
There are a lot of issues which arise in terms of health. There's need for educational facilities, including in the camps. And by the way, you should be aware of the fact that 90% of the IDPs there do not live in the camps. To accede to the community-based IDPs is another challenge, because they live outside in inaccessible areas, and these persons are extremely vulnerable. And of course, seen from the perspective of my mandate, the children are of particular concern to me. There are a lot of unaccompanied minors who are completely alone, There's no monitoring possible of what will happen to them and what can happen to them. There is a need for prioritizing psychosocial support to the victims to allow them to recover and to reintegrate and to rehabilitate and to envisage a life after the camps.
And it would seem that this is an extremely important endeavor because now these women are moms and now they're raising children that have been brought into this world under the most difficult circumstances.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, I want to pay a tribute to the people who work there in extraordinary circumstances. I visited a medical unit where there was a room for women to give birth, and there was a nurse all on her own for a camp of I don't know how many, something like five births per day take place. I mean, some of these births are the result of normal marital relationship, but a lot of them are the result of children and young women being raped by Boko Haram. And I would also like to commend the Nigerian authorities, together with the support of the international community, for having started now a computerized registration of the IDPs and profiling them. Because what is obviously needed also for these women and girls is a process of empowerment, teaching them skills in accordance with their potential to allow them to lead a productive social life at some point in time is very important. It goes beyond the head counting now, and that is really a great step forward.
That was UN Special Rapporteur Maud Deboer-Bukwikio talking about her recent trip to Nigeria. Some 200 million women around the world who want contraception have no access to it, according to the United Nations. The findings come in the Trends in Contraceptive Use Worldwide 2015 report, which says that family planning is a fundamental right. Anne Biddlecom is one of the authors who spoke to Daniel Dickinson about an international family planning conference that took place recently in Indonesia.
Two in three women worldwide are using contraceptives. These are women married or in union. So contraception's become quite the norm. That's worldwide, but you see pretty stark differences across the world in levels of use. We also know a bit about who's not using contraception, but who wants to prevent pregnancy. And this is called unmet need for family planning. In 2015, there were more than 200 million women who had an unmet need for family planning.
And where are those women?
That translates into about 12% worldwide, but unmet need levels are very high in sub-Saharan Africa in particular, in least developed countries, where it's about one in four women have an unmet need for family planning.
And why aren't those women getting the services they need?
In part, it's access. I mean, you find women who live in, you know, very remote areas or in conditions where they can't really move about easily in public space, where they're the hardest to reach with the services. But even when the services are available, another common barrier to using are myths and misperceptions about what contraceptives do to your body. And also, you know, real side effects that some women experience and that may make them stop using and yet not take that step further, finding another method that's more suitable for their lifestyle or their health. And also sometimes social support in the couples. It's not always both the members of the couple have the same preferences, and so there can be some barriers in that with respect to that as well.
What are the methods being most commonly used?
The most common methods worldwide are sterilization, female sterilization. But it's really quite variable. So you can find countries with kind of similar levels of contraceptive use and yet very different methods that come into play. So there's female sterilization and vasectomy, male sterilization, which is much less common than female sterilization, even though it's kind of less complicated procedure. The pill, IUD, hormonal injectables have really taken off, particularly in several countries in sub-Saharan Africa. Male condoms, it varies.
Why is it important to understand birth control trends?
Fundamentally, all of us have a right to the information, education, and the means to prevent pregnancy. And this has implications for a woman's health, the health of her children, children who are already born. And it also, having access to effective means of preventing pregnancy, can improve the education, the economic well-being for women and their families. So it's really crucial to track what's happened in the past and where we're at now and where we need to head.
You have been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We are also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thank you for listening. I'm Veronica Reeves.